morning. It's good to see you today. And in our month of August, we have been looking at original intent. So let me invite you, please, to turn with me today to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will begin reading at verse 12. Paul writes, "Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, that the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Father, we thank you that your word is filled with so many images and so many pictures that allow us to see how you reveal yourself, how you work in our world, how you work in the context of a church family, how you put your people together. And this is an image today that we can easily and readily identify with. And we thank you that as you placed it in the heart of Paul, that now your Spirit, if we've seen it 100 times, can bring new life to it and help us to once again envision and imagine how incredibly beautiful it is when the people of God are a body. So let your words now just shape our hearts, and may your Spirit shape this church family more into the image of Christ. For this is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. This is an image that is easy enough to understand. I picture it somewhat unfolding this way, or a way that we could probably put this in a context. When God created stuff, all the way back in Genesis, do you remember what he created from? All right, there was nothing. And then the author of Genesis goes ahead and tells us that then there was this, do you remember the stuff about darkness and void? That's kind of hard to imagine. You know, you just picture, okay, this is chaotic. There's darkness in it. There's nothing there that really has meaning. And God is going to take this, and out of that, when he's done on day 6, would you say that he moved to creating more order or less order with what he had to work with? He created more order. Did he do it in a way that made sense? In other words, as each day came about, did God make something on that day that kind of set up what would happen on the following day? Of course he did. He had a complete way that this whole creation was going to look. He knew how to order it. He knew how to design it. He knew how to put it in place. And when he created Adam and Eve, when he created humanity, man and woman, think about it this way. He created the culmination. He created the highest thing that he was going to create. And as the story of God unfolded, and it finally came down to Jesus and his redemption, his death, his resurrection, and then he goes to the Father, and then he sends the Spirit, and the church is born. When it was necessary for Paul to come up with an image of what the church would look like, picture him going all the way back to day 6 of creation, where God created Adam and Eve, and gave them body. And then Paul says, oh, that's exactly what he's done again. And this time it is church. God has taken a group of people. God has taken people who follow him, and almost as if it were creation all over again. And in a sense it is. The Spirit comes at Pentecost and God creates something new. And for some moments, I mean, there's chaos in the streets. People don't know what they've seen. They don't know what they have heard. And God takes all of that and he creates a people. And the most appropriate image for seeing how God's Spirit has created those people is the body. And so Paul comes to writing the book of Corinthians, and the body at Corinth is a little sideways, and there's confusion. Things are twisted. Things are out of order. It's like they have a broken arm or something's out of joint, and Paul is writing to just restore wholeness to a body that has left its original intent. The original intent is that God's people would look like a healthy what? Human body. So, Paul says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, all of its many parts form one body. All right, we get that. So, when God was creating the church, when the Spirit was creating the church, God created how many churches on the day of Pentecost? He created one. How many parts does it have? It has it has a number of parts. But there has always been, and even to this day, nearly 2,000 years later, how many churches are there? We've been here before. How many churches? There has always only been one church that has many parts. The original intent was always and only that there would be one body with various parts. But here's what happens. It's hard for us to believe that God can take a whole group of people. You know, we kind of get, okay, so he makes the human body and he kind of designs where everything's going to be. But it's hard for us to believe that he can do that with the group of people too. That he could take people over an incredible span of time, the entire so-called church age, and out of that, God is still saying there's only one of you. There's only one body that has many parts. And sometimes it is hard for us to conceive that we are part of a story in which there has only always been just one body, but there have been so many various beautiful parts. Now, who gets to decide how those parts come together? Who makes that decision? God does. That was easy. But let's be real. Let's go from the easy Sunday school answer to the way we do church. How do we function in a church? Every church does this. We act like who puts the body together? We do. We all know the right answer. Only God does it. And we say, God, only you could put a body together. And it will not take long before we have a group of people thinking they can put the body together better than God can. We'll do something in a church. I've been there thousands of times. We'll do something in which we say, God, you do a great job with creation. And then we'll turn right around and we'll dabble and reorder the creation that God was really so good at to begin with. What happens after God creates this beautiful world and then he entrusts it to us? Would you say that we did a better job and we improved on what God did after day 6, or it spiraled out of control? If any of this gets too hard, let me know and I'll gear down. Look what happens when creation is in our hands. Look at rivers. Look at what we've done. When I come to church, when I come here, every Sunday there's one little patch of road that I know is going to it just discourages me every time I ramp off the parkway on the particular one I take. I don't know what happens on a Friday or Saturday night, but it looks like every single week, it looks like somebody just came and dumped all of their garbage in on that ramp. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And my heart goes, I look at this is what we've done with God's beautiful creation. This is how we do this. This is how we respond. This is what we make of it. Now that's it, we destroy it. Now take that same exact image, just transfer it over to what we do with ourselves when we come together. We bring the same kinds of things that we do to something that God has created, and we bring destruction to it, and we just infuse stuff in it that was never intended. Guess what happens when God, who created his body, which is the church, guess what happens when we do the same thing to his church that we do to his creation? That's why Paul had to address it to the Corinthians, because they forgot the original intent was that God had created the body, God had created the church, and God had created all of these various parts that would make up the body, and he even arranged them in such a way that it works perfectly, that everything is just as he designed, just as he wanted, and it allows us to function. He created the church the same way. Did you know that? He created the church the same way. He created as a body. And he created it as a body that has a number of parts in it so that it can function in the way that God wants it to function. When we get a hold of it, we redesign it and make it function in the way that we want it to function, and wonder why, when it's all said and done, it just doesn't look right. It just doesn't feel right. We wonder how far away we may have removed ourselves from original intent. You see how that works? So, let's just go back to the body. When God created the body, he decided that we would have eyes and where to place them. He decided that we would have hands and, you know, they would be at the end of our arm. He decided where the feet would be. He decided where the mouth would be. He decided every single part. And then he designed all the inside stuff. And he just set it just so that everything works just as he designed it to work, and we could function back and have a relationship with him. And then we could have a relationship with other people. That's how he designed our body, right? Imagine if he had designed us in such a way that we couldn't have a relationship with him, or we could not have a relationship with other people. He designed us in such a way, perfectly in such a way, that we could enter into relationships. So everything is where it should be in his original intent, in his original design. And so, to kind of press the point a little further, Paul takes the image, and he just uses his imagination for a moment, and he says, suppose the whole thing just got completely out of whack, completely out of order. Let's say that the eye thought, I don't know, maybe it thought a couple things like, hey, I'm an eye, that's the only thing that matters. So imagine, now this would be a little grotesque, imagine that the whole body, Paul says, is an eye. Can you imagine that? All you were was an eye. Now, what advantage would that be to you if all you were was an eye? You could roll across the stage and get motion sick, I suppose. Or you could take the eye, and let's say that your body now had a couple of hands, and you could put your eye anywhere you wanted to. Let's say you had control over where you could put your eye. So let's say that you decide one day you're going to put your eye in your hand. All right? And, you know, in a sense, this would be kind of cool. You could take your hand and look around a corner. You could really have eyes in the back of your head if you needed one. You tell your kids, I really do have eyes in the back of my head, and one's looking at you right now. You could actually count the hairs on somebody's top of the head and see if you and God come out with the same number on any given day. I mean, if you had control over your eye and you could put it in your hand, You think to yourself, I can do all kinds of great things if I could take my eye and put it in my hand. But God didn't design you that way. But when it comes to the way that we relate to each other, sometimes that's what we do. We take the body that God has given to us as His church. Remember, He built the church. We're not building the church. Christ builds the church. God even organizes it. God even puts it together in such a way. And then we come around, people like me come around, and we say, you know, it would be so cool if we could take the eye of the church and put it in the hand and see what that looks like. It's not the way God designed it. God designed His people to be exactly who and what they are, and He has designed one body with these many parts, and the parts are put together by God. This is not like going to a car, auto shop where you're going to buy, let's say you're going to get a windshield wiper, you need a battery, or you need a carburetor, or you need a part. When you go into an auto parts, where are all those parts? Do you just find them scattered around, or like are all the batteries along one wall together? Do you notice how in an auto parts store that they put all the similar parts in the same bins or the same places? Now, would that be to you natural or unnatural for a body? If an auto parts store was a body, would that be the way that God designed us or the way He didn't design us, would you say? And He didn't design us that way. He didn't put us all in bins. He didn't take some people and throw them over here and say, okay, I'll put you guys over in this wall. I'll put you guys down this aisle. I'll throw you guys into this bin. This is the beauty of it all. God's not running an auto parts store. He is growing a body. He's building a body. He's designing a body, and its parts are exactly what He intended to be. Now, in our culture, one of the greatest challenges to any church anywhere, regardless of their denomination, regardless of where they are in Western culture, is this. We typically are prone to want to look outside of what God has created, the body of Christ, to look at a different world to decide how that should make us look, how we should then design ourselves, how we should come together, how we should function, all right? For example, when many churches think about how does a church function, where do they look to see where do they get their cues for how a church should function? Can you name a couple? Things like what world? The business world. God did not create a business when He created the church. He created a body. The military world, with its hierarchical structure. God did not create a military when He just created a body of Christ. The world of government. The world of corporation. Many churches have the tendency to want to look outside of the body the way that God intended it to get their models of how they should put their church together. And so all of a sudden, successful business world starts telling the church or starts offering cues to the church, if we can do this in the business world and successful, you could do the same thing in a church. You see how that works? God did not design us to be a business. He designed us to be a body. And once we get a hold of that, and begin to function as a body, then we can trust that God has put everything in order just as it should be. Can I just give you one illustration? And you're just going to have to give just a little latitude here, and we're going to have to laugh at ourselves. Now, you know by this point that when it's time to laugh at yourself, that means I'm about to say a hard truth, but we all know it's true and we all do it, and we just need to own up to it. So, is it all good? So, I'm just saying, don't get mad at me, get mad at you. That's all I'm saying. All right? We're all in this together. So, when churches come together and they decide how they're going to, carry forward their business, Do you know what piece of work or literature that we use when all of a sudden we're doing church business? What is it called? What's that little thing called? Okay. In this case, Robert's Rules of Order. All right. Now, in the 1850s, there was a guy named Henry Robert. He was in the army. A church asked him to come, and the church had an issue, and they asked him to help them get through the issue. He got in there, and he was overwhelmed, and he didn't know how to deal in the he could do great in the army, but he couldn't transfer all of that over to the church, and it embarrassed him, and it frustrated him that in the army he could do certain things, and there was a clearer line of command, but when he went to help this church that he was asked to help, he could not help the church by using the same tactics and the same strategies that he had used in the army. He found did not work in the church. So do you know what he did? He decided to write some stuff. And he wrote Robert's Rules of Order. Now, he needed a guide to write that out. And Robert's Rules of Order is a fairly wide-known guide that many churches use for things like parliamentarian procedure when they want to get things done, right? So when he wrote Robert's Rule of Order, guess what he used as his guide? Oh, I'm trying to give you as much. No. You know this is a setup. You know. Oh, no. I'm holding up my Bible. No. He did not use the Bible. He went to the House of Representatives. And he asked for their documents. They handed their documents about how to govern stuff over to him. He slapped the word church in it, and voila, as if he created something, there is Robert's Rules of Orders that is prevalently used in most churches when it came right out of the House of Representatives. And all I can hear in my other ear is God saying, I created you as a body. I've got you. I know where the eye goes. I know what the hand does. I know what the feet. If you trust the body, if you trust God in the body, what difference might that make? I'm just asking the question. Now you can laugh at yourself. It's always great when the children get it. But you see how all of this is put together in the hands of God. We are His people. We're not just another business. We're not the corporation of Baptists. We are the body of Christ. How many of you does it take for the body of Christ to function? How many of you? Every one of you has a part, every single person. And if you think you're unimportant, let me encourage you. The body cannot be what God intends the body to be in original intent without you. Every single person. And once every single person finds where they function in the body, and they find fulfillment in that, and they realize that it takes all of us together to make this body of Christ, and how beautiful it is once it is put together, and that we didn't have to come up with the plan, we didn't have to organize it. God sets you with the gift that He has given you, not the church, that He has given you, so that you can function as part of the body of Christ. And when a body of Christ people, when a body of followers of Jesus come together and everybody knows their place and their part and how they function, man, that body is like the most beautiful, sweet thing of Jesus' presence in the world. You can do mission. You can do evangelism. You can reach out to people across the aisle, across the street, across the world. Nothing can stop a body that just trusts God, who has put it together to begin with. You wouldn't trust yourself with creation. Why don't we just trust God with his body? He's got this. And when we function that way, it is the most beautiful thing in the world. Let me just mention one thing about this, because this is where people get hung up. So hold it. Then who's the head of all of that? You got this, right? Who's the head of the body? If God has created us to be a body, who's the head of all of that? Hold it. I heard Christ, because I was really certain that I was. I really thought I, being the pastor of this church, was the head of the body. Didn't you? You didn't? Good for you. You say, then what does leadership do? Yeah, this is the cool thing about it. If the model that we want to use, or any church wants to use, is based on a business, a corporation, or any other model than that of being a body, then there'll be somebody who runs that thing. There's somebody in charge of that thing, right? I mean, I don't know, there's a general somewhere, there's a CEO somewhere, there's a somebody who heads that thing up. Here's the cool thing about our body. If Jesus is the head, you know what the leaders in a body do? They don't grasp power. That's like the most un-Jesus-like thing you can do, right? Do you remember when Jesus, you know, he gave away when he came from heaven to earth? In a sense, he divested himself. He didn't grasp power. That is our model. Here's what leaders in the body of Christ do. They don't gather power to themselves. Do you know what they do? They release, they try to clear the channels, they try to create a culture in which the power of Christ can flow to all the parts of the body so that the body can function in the way God wants it to. If anybody in the body thinks, oh, I'm just going to get in here and I'm going to grab me some power, I just want to feel what power is like, then the body of Christ is not for you. You need to do something else. But if you want to be a part of a group, whether a leader, and this won't even make sense, this is another day, another time. We think that churches have a certain amount of people in the church who are leaders. When God looks down upon it, I mean, if all of you think about it, if all of us do this thing together and you realize where your place is in the body and you function out of your place in the body, do you know that what God really has here is a whole group of people who are leading because they are following Jesus? So if you want to have a church, any church, if you want to have a church that's based on who the pastor is, generally most people either like or do not like the pastor, right? I'm just telling you from my point of view, from any pastor. Okay, so people who say, I either like him or I don't like him. All right, forget that. It's not about who the pastor is. It's about the head, who is Christ, and it's not whether you like him or don't like him, it's whether we want to obey him or disobey him. It's whether we want to follow him or not follow him. That's the issue. Pastors are a dime a dozen in that sense who come and go, but Christ has been the head of his body from day one, and he will be for all of eternity, and nothing's going to change that. So let's live. Let's think about. Let's commit ourselves to living like the body of Christ that he wants us to be. And you think, wow, but y'all got the leadership team. You think, oh, aren't they like a powerful team? Let me tell you something. I've been meeting with the leadership team for almost 2 years. I'll give you the actual percentage of how much authority they have. Do you want to know what that is? If you're on the leadership team, I'll let you go first. How much authority does the leadership team in our church have? Zero. We just meet and eat. We don't have authority. Y'all realize that? You think, so, what is it all about? It is all about helping a body stay connected to the head so that the power of the Spirit can have fullness of freedom throughout the entire body. We don't make decisions for anybody. We don't tell anybody what to do. We just want to be able to hear what the head is saying, hear what the body is saying, and help the connection between the head, who is Jesus, and the body, who is us, to be as vibrant and to be as vital and to be as life-giving and as sustaining as it possibly can be. That's all we do. Does that make you feel better about leadership, team? Not out there trying to do stuff for you on your behalf and make decisions for you? No. We're trying to free, to help this church live in its fullness of freedom in Jesus Christ. That's it. You say, that's it? That's it. It's a beautiful thing, actually. Because no matter where you are in the body, if you want to lead, lead. If you're a hand and God's called you to do hand stuff, lead like a hand. If you're a foot, lead like a foot. If you're an eye, lead like an eye. Because the only head you got is Jesus. But look around, the body you have is us. And it is the most beautiful picture of the risen Lord and of the people whom he died and was risen on the third day for. We are his body. Let's be his body. And nothing will stop heaven's flow through the head to us as we do what he has called us to do. I'm going to ask you, please, if you'd stand with me. And I'm going to pray for us as a body. And after I pray, I'm going to invite you to respond. Perhaps God's Spirit has been stirring something in your heart, and you're getting a sense of, I think God wants me to be this part of the body, and I want to make that clear, or I want to function more clearly in that. And you just want to ask for God's fullness and ask for God's Spirit as you carry out what it is you're called to do. Or perhaps you haven't felt like you're part of a body and you like to just come and say, I haven't felt that way, but I've got good news for you. You are. And together, let's just go to Jesus and let's start listening together as to where he has you and what your life is all about in the context of his beautiful body. Our Father, we thank you that we're not trying to be a business or an organization. We're not trying to imitate or mimic our government or the military. We are uniquely and only the body of Christ. The only thing in all of the earth where Christ is the head, and we are the body. And every person, regardless of size and shape and everything else that goes with life, every single person is a part of a beautiful body. Every person is set in order. Every person has a place. And together, we're not called to manage over each other or micromanage each other. We're just called to obey the voice of the head of Christ himself, to listen together what Christ is saying to the church through the power of his Spirit. So, Father, we embrace each other as a body, and we come together, and we stand before you as a body. And we ask that your Spirit just give us strength for the ways you've called us, or give us clarity if we are praying about our place in that body. We present ourselves to you right now. And if we're new to that body, I'm just going to ask you to come today. If you're beginning your story, your journey with Christ, we want to invite you to come and let us embrace you and let us just walk together as you begin your life in Christ. We'll celebrate that together. So as we begin to sing, I'm going to invite you to step out and come right now. I'll be here to meet you as you come.
Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace, everlasting grace. the light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all frame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all is fate. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fate. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise. From the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out. Soul. Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending. Your glory goes beyond all faith, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise. From the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all faith. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise. From the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out. From the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out, Lord. everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all faith, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. Lord, my soul cries out from the inside out. Lord, my soul cries out.
Do all of our musicians do such an incredible job week after week. Let me remind you, please, that this Wednesday night we will be doing Going Green. So if you'd like to come out, we'll throw some hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill. You bring some sides and a chair and games, and we just have a great time. So we'll be here at 5 o'clock it will begin, and would like to invite you to come. A great time to bring a friend and just hang out. We have beautiful shade trees, so if it's a warmer day, actually by that time of day, the wind and breeze through there is actually very, very nice. You'll enjoy it, and you'll be fine. So we'll see you on Wednesday night. If you'd like to help set up in any way, you can come out around 4 or 4:30, and we'll start getting things set up. After we sing our closing song today, school supplies are available in the fellowship hall. So please, you can just go right out here through this door down the fellowship hall and pick up your supplies. All right? Next week will be the beginning of a new month. We are going to do communion, just so you know, on the second Sunday of September. That way, if you're going to gives all of us a chance to get back, start September together. So we'll have communion on the second Sunday. We'll look forward to that. If you've been our guest today, welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad that we were able to worship together. We're honored to have the chance to meet you, and we pray God's deepest blessings upon you. Let me lead us in prayer. We'll sing, and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for an image that reimagines itself in our hearts. We are a body. You are the head. And together, we love every part of it in all of the various ways that you have designed and created us. You have put it all together so that there always was just one body. Help us to just live like that and let this community see that we're many parts, and yet we're only one body of Christ, empowered by your Spirit, with Jesus as our head, and with God who organized the whole thing. Father, we look forward to that, and we want to find greater fullness as we live in that image, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen.
Have a great afternoon, church.